Okay, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Aleph. So we just finished talking about the major nes that Eliyahu brought by punishing the Nevi'ei Baal. He proved they were wrong by bringing the fire from Shemaim that burnt his Eliyahu's carbon and did not burn the carbon of the Nevi'ei Baal. So now Achav is clearly very impressed by the nes that Eliyahu performed. So what does he do? What does a man do when he's impressed? He goes home and he tells his wife. Right? That's the natural thing to do. Pasuk Aleph, Vayogid Achav Leizevel Eskol Asher Ase Eliyahu Beskol Asher Horag Eskol Anevim B'Chorev. So Achav goes home and he says, Zevel, do you know what happened today at work? I'll tell you. Today, Eliyahu came along and he performed this major nes. This fire came down, burned down all the. It burned his carbon, it did not burn the Nevi'ei Baal. It proved to the Jewish people that Nevi'ei Baal are fake, they're not real. And we went ahead and we killed out Nevi'ei Baal.
Did this mention about wife? I didn't see anything about
Yeah, Izebel was his wife.
Is this his wife?
Yeah, Izebel was his wife. So Izebel was not as impressed as Eliyahu. And she says, you know what, Achav, I don't know. I don't know about this guy Eliyahu. He seems a little bit of a threat. Because remember, Izebel had her own Nevim of Avodah Zarah. She had her Nevim of Asherah, a different type of idol worship. But Achav was loyal to the Nevi'ei Baal, and that was his Avodah Zarah. And Izebel had her Avodah Zarah, right? It's like the husband has, you know, his fancy car, and the wife has her fancy car. That was their form of Avodah Zarah. But he's like Izebel Malach El Eliyahu. So Izebel sends a messenger to Eliyahu. Leimor Koy Yasin Elkim V'Chayosifun Ki Kreis Machar Osim Snav Shochak Kenefesh Achad Nehem. She tells Eliyahu, she sends him a warning. She tells him that tomorrow I'm going to make you just like the Nevi'ei Baal. Just like you killed the Nevi'ei Baal, now you are going to be dead tomorrow. So Eliyahu is very, very upset. He is clearly taken. He takes the warning very seriously. So what does he do? So he goes over to Beersheba, which was in Shevet Yehuda, and he leaves his Nar over there. So the Malbim Avir explains that Eliyahu was the type of Navi, most Navim actually back in the day, the way they worked was, is they didn't live amongst the people, they didn't have neighbors, they didn't have friends. They would go out into the middle of nowhere, and they would surround themselves in a fortress of solitude. They would completely cut themselves off from the world, and they would work on themselves, elevating themselves to get to a higher level in Ruchnius. That's what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Raya Tzoy, he was a shepherd. Now, there are different reasons why all the main leaders of the Jewish people were shepherds. That is to show their sympathy, and show their sympathy to a sheep with a broken leg, and they carry them. That shows that they can be sympathetic towards Bnei Israel as well. That's a different reason. The main reason is because they wanted to separate themselves from the people of the world, and they didn't want to be mixed with the people because they wanted to elevate themselves and really reach a high darga in Ruchnius.
It says, "Vayar." What did he see?
Right, so what did he see?
He says, and he saw, and he rose, and he went for his life.
So Vayar, the Bible explains that Izebel would actually be successful if she so wanted to.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
So he took off.
Yeah. He took her warning very seriously. He could have said, listen, you know, I'm a Navi, I'm untouchable. Right? You can't touch me. I've got Hashem protecting me. But no, he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that in fact, Izebel, if she wanted to, she could in fact hurt him. She could kill him if she wanted to. So, what does he do? He flees and runs away. And so he really separated himself from the rest of the world. And only when he found when there was a real time of need, when the Jewish people were sinning, they were not doing the right thing, that's when he would come over and he would warn them, he would try to get them to do the right thing, which is exactly what Eliyahu did. He tried to get them to do the right thing, and he killed Nevi Ella. We saw that he actually did his job very well. The problem was that once Izebel sends this warning after he was successful, after he showed that he's in fact a Navi, a true Navi, and he killed on Avia Baal, and then Izebel still dares to go ahead and try and kill him, he realized that all his efforts are in vain, and there's no point in trying to tell off the Jewish people for their sins, because clearly it's falling on naked ears.
But why is he so scary about this woman? He was able to kill 400 people. Now he tried to run from one woman.
So,
as a fake,
she had the army.
No, but there is no answer. This is to try to scare him because of the fake Navim. I believe she has also some Navim, but they fake also.
Yeah, they are fake. But again, he saw she was still in a position of power. And the Balaam explains that he saw in Ruach HaKodesh, he saw through prophecy, that she can actually be successful in killing him and hurting him. That's the Balaam says. And the Ralbag explains that he did not want to rely on a miracle. He could have, meaning he could have just sat back and said, you know, don't worry, she'll take care of me. But there's a cloud of Ein Simchel Anes. You're not supposed to rely on a miracle.
Yeah, he says, the Zohar states that Leo did not want to burden the Almighty by demanding that he perform a miracle to fire.
Right, that's the Ralbach,
so
yeah.
So he took off.
Yeah, that's what the Ralbach says. Yeah. Yeah, Victor, in Moran Perkin Tas, Pasuk, we just read Pasuk Gimel. So what does he do? He goes over to Yehuda. Yehuda is not under the control of Izebel. Because remember, back then, there were two states for the Jewish people. There was Yehuda.
Well, it seems, he says, it could, the Rabbanil says that everything he did on his own. God didn't tell him to do that. He didn't ask him about to do anything. He did it. So now he figured that He brought sacrifice to this day. God didn't tell him to do that. He killed the then. God didn't tell him to do that. Now he's afraid that he's in disfavor with Hashem because he did all this. And he fallen out of God's good graces, but not worthy of a miracle.
Right.
So what else is he going to do? He didn't know, should he daven or just take off? He said God did not speak to him, and he rose and went according to the dictate of his soul. He ran away.
Right.
Well, he didn't have to stay there to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does he do now? So he goes over to Yehuda, and he leaves. It says, "Vayanach Hasnarosham." He leaves his man, like the man that was the person that was taking care of him, that was supporting him. He left him over there. Because he's now going again to separate himself from the people of the world and to be in solitude. Pasuk Dalet continues. He goes to the desert because again he's trying to hide. He's in disguise. He's trying to hide from Izebel. He knows that Izebel is sending out scouts looking for him, trying to kill him. So he goes to the Midbar. Back then, you'd try to disguise yourself. Where'd you go? You go to the Midbar. You go to the desert. And so he walks through the desert for one day. And he rests under a roisem echos. This tree.
A
tree.
A tree?
No. Yeah, he's resting under a tree.
Juniper. Is that the name of a tree?
Yeah, it's the name of a tree.
George is actually...
Yeah, Vaisalf Nafshilam, Yoimer Ram Ato Hashem, Kach Nafshi, Kiloi Toib, and Noichi, May Avoisai. So he wants to die. He says, you know what, Hashem, take me, my time has come, I'm done over here. What's going on? Why does he want to die, right? Yizevel is trying to kill him, so he runs away and says, no, Hashem, you kill me. Right, what's going on over here? So the Malbim explains like this. He says that he realized that he came to the complete tikkun. Every person has to achieve a certain level, a certain tikkun, a certain thing he has to fix in this world, a mission he needs to accomplish, whatever it is. And he now realized that he came to that place where he accomplished his mission on earth. So now he's done. Right, I did my thing. I did what I needed to do in this world. Now Hashem, take me to the world to come. I have nothing to do here anymore.
So then you know he's done.
Yeah, I'm saying he was done. Not me and you can know. Like we can't know that we completed our mission.
Everyone doesn't know what completed or not.
Right. Right. But Eliyahu was a Navi. He knew that he, in fact, did complete his mission. And so now he's done.
Now, what does he mean? Like, Kilo Tov Onochi
Me'abosai. Okay, so we'll get there. We'll get to there to explain what that means. So he's saying now, Ki Rav Ato Hashem. What does that mean? Meaning, I already did more than I need to do. Rav Ato, meaning I already did more than I need to do. More than I completed more than my mission, more than my required mission. And therefore, I came to such a place, such a holy place in spirituality, where I don't even need to die because I'm so high spiritually that already in my life I can get to a high level spiritually where I'm already there, right? I'm already so high spiritually. Meaning, most people, the living in this world, living in a physical world, in a physical body, is pulling them down, right? Is weighing them down. But now Eliyahu is saying, I did so much in my life, I got to such a high place in spirituality that I don't need to die even. I don't even need to die. Therefore, I can really go on and live forever. Just like Adam Arishon was supposed to. Just like the first man, whoever created Adam, was supposed to live too. So he says, I'm really better than my forefathers who ended up dying, but I can really get to a place that where I deserve to really live forever, because spiritually I'm at such a high level that I don't need to die anymore. That's what he's saying.
Well, if he says it's time for him to die, he can't. That's it. He wasn't afraid he might fall down. He got up there, but maybe something might happen. And in the end, if he says, "Take my soul," he wants to die. So why was he? Why did he run away? He ran away so she wouldn't kill him. Now he doesn't care if he wants to die anyway.
Right. But he's not saying death in, you know, in our terms of death. He's saying death in terms of meaning. It's much more elevated death. I mean, I got to a place that I'm so high spiritually where I don't really need to die. I can just like live on as a spiritual being in a human body, so to speak. So it's a different type of death, I guess.
Yeah, he's not afraid he might slip. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Right, nobody's perfect, but by separating, again, we said that he separated himself from the people in the world.
Why he asked to die, because he's afraid he got up here now, and something might pull him back down. You know, or it's just, I'm here, and that's it, take me away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not afraid that he might fall down afterwards or something if he continues living. I mean, you never know.
You're right. It says, Ein tzam yivara tashriyasa toiv alayah. There is no righteous person on this earth that will do good and doesn't do bad. That's true.
All right.
But because he reached such a high level, I guess he's holding in a place where he knows that I'm beyond that. I'm beyond that point where I can actually be pulled down again. In any case, that's where he seems to know that he's holding. He's obviously in a position to say that. He was a Navi in a such a high level that he actually could say that. So let's see what happens. Ve'ishka ve'ishan tachas roisem echod. So he's sleeping under this tree, and then a malach comes over to him and says, get up and eat. Now, if you notice, there's a difference between the way Pasuk Hey describes the tree and the way Pasuk Dalet describes the tree. In Pasuk Dalet, what does it say? Roisem echos, lashon keva, female tree. Right? And in Pasuk Hey, it says roisim echad, a male tree. Mm-hmm. Right? Difference. What's the difference?
You have a difference in trees, females and male?
Absolutely.
So what does that mean? Well, what's a female tree? What's a male tree?
Now, how do you know which one is which?
There's bushes that are male because one can't reproduce without the pollen from the other one.
There's some
trees like that. Not all trees, but there's some.
So,
I don't know.
Okay. So that's.
So he laid.
Apparently, there's a difference in trees between males and females. What? Flowers, what?
Usually some flowers.
So. What he's actually doing, he laid down, he held. That's it. He figured. Shall take a soul, and is that what he's at this point when you did
this?
Okay, I'm ready. Take me now.
Yeah, take me now. But the Malbim explains that there were actually two different trees. First, when he was sleeping under the female tree, he says that's a female tree means that it's a smaller tree. And that tree was only enough to kind of sit down. There was only enough shade for him to sit under. The second tree that he was lying under was a male tree, and that was a bigger tree. It was large enough for him to actually lie down, completely lie down and sleep under. But he says, really, it wasn't a tree. It was just a malach, was an angel that disguised himself as a tree.
Right.
And so the malach comes over to him, and as he's lying under this tree / malach, the malach awakens, and this angel awakens and comes to him and says, get up, it's time to eat. Right? Like his personal alarm clock.
It's not yet time to go yet.
Yeah, not yet. So what does he tell him? Pasuk Vav, Vayamit v'hinim arashois of ugas ritzofim v'tzapachas maim. V'yoichal v'yesht v'yoshav v'yishkav. So he gets up, and he sees this some kind of cake and a vessel of water, and he gets up and he eats, and then he goes back to sleep. What's this cake that it's describing? Ugas or tzafim is apparently a cake made of fire. And these little pieces of fire kind of came together to look, to form the shape of a cake that looked like it was edible fire, whatever that is.
He says baked. It was a cake baked on hot coals.
Yeah. But the Malbim says that it was actually some kind of spiritual food. And he says like this. He says that every being, physical or spiritual, eats what it needs for its sustenance. And every food is created from the four elements. The four elements are water, fire, air, and earth.
And what?
Earth. And so, malachim, spiritual beings, angels, their food comes from fire, water, and air. The three more elevated, more spiritual elements. Earth is much more physical, clearly. Earth is heavy, it weighs you down, so to speak. And he says that shadim, demons, are actually created from fire, air, or fire and water. One of those two combinations, fire and air, fire and water. That's why a lot of times you see demons that look very fiery, whatever it is, I'm saying, in the movies. But apparently that's real. That's a real that's a real being that are created from a combination of fire and air. Fire and water. Or fire and air. But their main element that they're created from is air. Is fire. And apparently they do eat and drink, according to Chazal. And again, they eat from things that are closer to that are basically part of what they're created of. So they'll eat things that are made out of fire and air or fire and water.
Well, maybe this kind of food goes for the soul and not for the body.
Right, but these are spiritual beings. Yeah. These are spiritual beings that are so because they're spiritual, they need to eat from food that's also part of what they're made out of.
What type of good? Right.
And so also malachim too. It says oisa malachim ruchois.
But the highest level.
Of Eish Loyet. It says that Hashem makes his malachim out of ruchos, out of wind, out of air. Mesharas of his servants, Hashem's servants, are boiling hot fire. So again, malachim are also spiritual beings, and they're more made out of more elevated, even more elevated. Right? They're pure air or pure fire, which is even more elevated than water and earth.
So, what is he's trying to tell me? He ate spiritual food?
Yeah, so when it says Ugas Ritzafim, Ritzafim comes from the word Ritzbah, floor. And floor apparently refers to Nevuah, to prophecy. It says that the first time Moshe Rabbeinu received Nevuah, when he was in the desert and he saw the burning bush, and he clearly realized that it was Hashem speaking to him. What does he say? What does Hashem tell Moshe? He tells him, "Sal na'alecha me'al raglecha." Take your shoes off. You need to touch. You need your feet need to touch the floor. They need to touch the earth in order for you to receive the nevuah. There's a lot of discussion about that. What that means? Why that is? But apparently, nevuah is referred to as the floor. You need to be touching the floor while you receive nevuah. And what he gave him an ugas ritzafim, a cake that symbolizes the floor, referring to Nevuah, the prophecy. It's a pachas mayim, and a vessel of water. Water refers to what? Water symbolizes Torah. Ein mayim el Torah. Water is Torah.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, and so now he's giving him spiritual food, some kind of spiritual sustenance for Eliyahu to go on. He's kind of granting his request to be elevated to such a place where he's doesn't need any more physical food anymore. He's not really in a physical body, in a physical state. Rather, he's in a much higher spiritual state, where you can actually eat spiritual food just like demons eat or just like malachim, angels eat as well. I don't know, no, it doesn't say that angels eat, but they're definitely made out of those elements and not lower elements that are more physical, like water and earth. So that's what this malach, that's what this angel is telling Elio. Here, your wish is granted, you can now eat spiritual food.
Meaning to say that
Who's he talking about? Is this a sinner?
Yeah, apparently he understood.
Because he changed his mind, now doesn't want to die.
Well, again, it's not real death.
No, he
just
asked, I believe he doesn't want to eat, doesn't want to go to do anything. He's laying, he's waiting his death. But now, angel asked him to do something. Let the force him to eat and continue to live. It means his mission is not done.
Right.
Or you know what it is? No, it's...
Right, his mission... Yeah, I'm saying... Again, his physical mission might be done, but you can still live on a spiritual state. Whatever that means. It says that Eliyahu didn't actually die. Right? But he did elevate himself into... Well, we're going to see. We're going to get there. It says that Eliyahu went up to the heavens in a fiery...
Chariot,
whatever it is. We'll get there. But this is the beginning of that. This is the beginning of that state. Yeah. Two different lives. A more physical life where he's actually in this world in a physical state, but a more spiritual life. And this is the beginning of the next stage of his life.
Well, it says he ate and he drank and he laid down again. He wasn't going anywhere. What was he thinking at this point?
He was full, and he was, you know, after you eat supper, you're tired, and you lay down.
He's tired. There's no talking about him being here.
Right, no. So he's, why is he lying down?
Yeah. I mean, he was told, you're not finished yet. He's saying, get up and eat, because you have to go and all. It didn't say he ate. It says he didn't eat the whole thing, because it says he ate again. It doesn't say there was a new one to eat. He ate a piece of the cake, and he had a little bit of the water. He didn't eat to finish it. Later on, in the second time when he said to do it, he had some left. So he ate from what was left. It wasn't
right.
Something new. But when he laid down, he figured that's it. I mean, what was he thinking? When he laid down the second time. First time he laid down, he felt like he's done. He's gone. But the angel said, no, you're not gone yet. We need to walk. So get up, have some of the spiritual food here, and you'll continue. So he ate and he laid down. He doesn't say that he started to go until the angel came a second time and said, hey, you gotta go. But what was he thinking when he laid down the first, right after that? He figured he was just going to expire, like he thought when he laid down the first time?
Maybe he was going to have another nevuah.
No, but this is kind of preparation.
So the Rabag actually says that he was physically hungry. And he was physically hungry, and he's saying that he was suffering so much that he's telling Hashem, you know, please, please take me already. I can't stand this anymore. Right, just let me die. It's a bit of a different explanation of the Malbim.
All right.
Yeah. So Pasuk Zayin goes ahead. V'yashal Malach Hashem Shenis v'yigaboy v'yamekumechad hirab imcha darech. So he eats, he goes back to sleep, right? And then the Malachim came to him and he says, okay, wake up, it's time to go. You gotta start traveling. And now he eats, and the Metzudas David says that you understand that it's a more physical type of eating. And he says that this physical type of eating did not digest fully in his stomach, and it lasted for, well, we're going to see, for 40 days and 40 nights. It lasted for a long time. So he walked for 40 days and 40 nights until Har Elikim. So this is very similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu experienced. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to the heavens, when he went up to Shemaim, to receive the Torah from Hashem, it says that he didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. He was there also for that period of time. So this is very similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu experienced, where he was in such an elevated spiritual state where he didn't need to eat anymore. Either it's like a more physical nase, where it actually was physical food, but it didn't fully digest in his stomach. Or it was a elevated spiritual experience where he didn't need to eat anymore. He didn't need to eat at all. So he gets until Har Chorev. Har Chorev is Har Sinai. That's where we receive the Torah. And that's where he gets to. So he was clearly in the Sinai Desert. And he walked all the way to Har Sinai. So the Malbim explains that the first time he ate was a more physical eating, but the second time he ate was a more spiritual eating, and he didn't need to sleep, and he didn't need to eat, and he was really able, the second time he ate, really got him to a much higher level spiritually, and that's why he didn't need to eat or drink for 40 days or 40 nights. He can just walk without eating, without sleeping. He didn't need any of the physical basic needs that most human beings, like us, like me and you, need. Pasuk Tes, V'yavei Sham El Ma'ara, V'yolon Sham. He goes to a cave by Har Sinai, and he sleeps over there. V'yinei Dvar Hashem Elo V'yomer Loi Malach Apoi El Yo. So Hashem comes over to him a second time, and he says, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" Why is he asking him? Why is Hashem asking him, "Why are you here?" Doesn't he, like, what is he, like, trying to find out? He doesn't know? So, the commentators explained that he was really trying to open up a conversation with Elio. Many times we find that Hashem addresses people in these regular, mundane questions where he clearly knows the answer to. We find this by Cain. After Cain killed Hevel, and he was clearly very afraid from Hashem. He was very shaken. So he goes out and he hides. And what does Hashem say? Ayeka, where are you? Right, I can't see you. Where are you hiding? I don't know where you are. Obviously, Hashem knew exactly where Cain was. He didn't need Cain to tell him. But he's engaging in a more, you know, regular, mundane question. Okay, like, where are you? He's trying to start a conversation, a dialogue with him. And the same thing is happening over here. He's coming over to tell Yo, and he says, "Why are you here?" Meaning what? Why are you here? You really, a Navi, the place of a Navi is supposed to be amongst the people. He's supposed to rebuke them. He's supposed to make sure they're on the right path. So why are you here in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert? You're not supposed to be here. Okay, and we'll see what the continuation of a conversation, but we have to stop here.